In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the geek culture podcast from the USA Today Network. Thank you so much for joining us and happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I'm Kelly Lawler, and my favorite Spider-Man at this point probably is Tom Holland.
I'm Brian Truitt, and I watch movies, and that is the correct answer. Tom Holland is the best Spidey of all time.
Brett Molina is not with us, but I can clearly answer for him that he's going to say Tom Holland.
He probably said Tobey Maguire.
I don't know.
He's like a Tobey Maguire guy.
His reaction to Homecoming was quite something. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And if you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, why don't you give us a rating and review? By doing that, you help other fans who love nerdy and geeky pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we'll give you a very special shout out on our next episode. So try it out. Tell us what you want to see from the show in future episodes, and really, it's all upside for you. And don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can email us at mothershippod@usatoday.com. And before we get to the main topic, obviously, Brett Molina is not here, but we miss him. We love him, despite the fact that we told him he should go back to work just now. It is because
he didn't go like, oh no, I want to go with you guys. And he's like, peace out. Then you went back to work.
It is because we are talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, which is in theaters now. Brett hasn't seen it. I haven't seen it. But Brian has seen it, along with our very special guest, Mike Ryan, wonderful pop culture writer at UpRocks. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I don't know how to respond to that.
Here's a clip of our main topic.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding. Look, keep up the good work.
Because I am going on vacation.
Heads up. Nick Fury's calling you.
I don't really want to talk to Nick
Fury.
Answer
the phone.
Why?
Because if you don't talk to him, then I have to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. You sent Nick Fury to voicemail?
I gotta go.
You do not ghost Nick Fury.
What up, dorks?
What's up? We're just talking about the trip.
I'm here in St. Marco Polo's.
Oh, I think MJ really likes me.
That reminds me of when I first fell in love.
You're a very difficult person to contact, Spider-Man. This is Mr. Beck.
We could have used someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours. A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do. You're coming with us.
Gotta be someone else you can use.
What about Thor?
Off world.
Captain Marvel.
Unavailable.
But I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter? I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel. MJ,
I am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
You're right, you may not be ready, but this is my responsibility.
Saving the world requires sacrifice. Sometimes people die.
Oh my God.
I just always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger. The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
That's Spider-Man. He's doing whatever a spider can yet again on screen in Spider-Man Far From Home, the next major Marvel Cinematic Universe movie out this week. It's the second solo film for Tom Holland's web-slinging teenage hero, though we've seen lots of him in both Avengers Infinity War, if you remember, he didn't want to go, and Avengers Endgame, where he got a big hug and I cried from Iron Man. It was Iron Man he got a hug from.
Yeah, and we know what happened.
And then we know what happened. The new adventure finds Peter Parker and his high school friends going off on a European vacation, and they didn't even invite me. They run into Nick Fury, new hero Mysterio, played by the wonderful Jake Gyllenhaal, and a bunch of elemental monsters. So, as I already said, to talk about the new flick, very special guest Mike Ryan, senior entertainment writer at UpRocks, is back on the mothership. We're going to talk about the movie spoiler-free first before heading to Spoiler Town later on the show, because a lot of stuff happens. I will exit when they enter Spoiler Town. And you'll be left all alone with Brian and Mike, and I pray for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very happy for you.
Like half the movie we can't even talk about right now. But we can later, so stick around.
Also, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you can listen to the first half of the podcast and then come back and finish it up.
But really, you should have seen the movie by now.
What are everybody's overall thoughts? I will start with Mike, since you're a very special guest.
Oh, I love Far From Home. It's great. I was worried before I saw it, and because of the way they're marketing it. And I'm a huge Mysterio fan, and I was very happy with what they did. It's so weird how little we can say without spoiling it. I don't know.
Now we've gotten to the point of these Marvel movies where, like, you know, once the turn happens, like midway through these movies, and then like the rest of it you really can't talk about. So you can only talk about like one half of the movie. And Endgame, you could talk about like the first 20 minutes of a 3-hour movie, and that was pretty much it. So, I mean, this is at least, you know, an hour you can talk about.
Spoilers out of control. I am pro spoiler. I love spoilers. If either any of you right now knew the plot of Rise of Skywalker, I would just sit there and listen. Just tell me the whole thing. I don't care. You know what? Because seriously, if your movie can't withstand knowing something about it, then maybe that's a problem.
Well, that's the thing. That's a good thing about Game of Thrones, is because I didn't watch that until like, you know, what, two years ago. I knew like you know, Ned Stark died. And other, you know, kind of like big things. It didn't matter because it's a story well told. So, you know, even though you know things are coming, you're still invested. And you still, you know, you're still in for everything. And a good story is going to be like that.
Do you guys watch Marvel movies when they're like on TV?
Yes.
Because I don't that often. Like, I don't rewatch these a lot, and I love most of them. But they are so reliant on, you know, twists and turns of this saga that I don't rewatch them as much as I thought I would.
Every time Winter Soldier's on like FX, I'll watch it.
Okay. There are a few I'll rewatch, but movies that I walk out going, man, I love that, I haven't really rewatched them.
I saw the first Avengers 5 times in theaters, so I don't know. but back to Far From Home. Brian, you gave it a very positive review. What are your overall thoughts?
I loved Homecoming. I just liked the vibe of that because it was more about the kids than the superhero stuff. So, I mean, that was kind of my jam. I didn't like this as much, but it's still really good. I mean, I think, you know, kind of the stuff we can talk about, you know, I think the European thing kind of like adds a lot of like meandering stuff to it for me, but you know, they still kind of like they have a great crew of like kids, and they all like have great chemistry together, and they're all kind of fun, just kind of doing things. And again, you know, first half of the movie, there's a lot of stuff. You know, that stuff is way better than kind of like, you know, the CGI heavy action and, you know, kind of like crazy monsters and the kind of the big Marvelness of everything.
So, speaking of the big Marvelness of everything, this is the first movie we have post-Endgame. How did they deal with that aftermath? Did it feel anticlimactic? Mike, what did you think?
Like Brian was saying, Homecoming has this special feel to it. We heard John Hughes' name like 1,000 times when that movie came out. And now you get Far From Home, which has to deal with half the universe's population dying and coming back. It's like this strange way to start. But I like how they did it. We get kind of caught up on the whole thing through a high school video that they show to the school. And it's very low production. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You is playing as they
so
flash
good.
Through all the Avengers who died.
So good.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Kind of like that Captain America physical fitness video.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
The exact same tone as that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is how they kind of explain how the world works. I'm like, this was smart.
If only the leftovers had thought of that.
It knows what it is because, you know, it's, you know, you, they know that Endgame was like this emotional, exhaustive thing that just like you got out of it and you're like, whoa. And you needed kind of like that palate cleanser. And this is it. And I think, you know, kind of they deal with it and then they move on, you know, kind of like they explain. It was called the snap. Now they call it the blip. If you disappear, do you come back where you were? And they explain it in hilarious fashion.
They show during this high school video, they show the band performing in the high school gymnasium and half of them disappear. And then they're like, and 5 years later, like it's in the middle of a basketball game and half the band reappears and they start getting hit in the head with basketball.
So good.
It's great.
Yeah.
So Tom Holland is now in his fifth movie playing Spider-Man, which is officially two more than Tobey Maguire.
I mean, that's five. I mean, that's a lot. We don't know. I mean, he still feels new in a lot of ways. But he's been around for a long time.
So we're thinking, you know, we talked about how much we loved him a little bit already. But like, what specifically do you guys really like about him? And that was still present in Far From Home, I assume.
Oh, I love that he's not 37.
That's always been the best part of that.
Hey, guys, I'm just a teen. And the actor's actually like 37. I'm glad. Like, Tobey Maguire, they've been replaying all the other Spider-Mans on FX this week. So I watched The Amazing Spider-Man, which is just weird, like now. And I watched Spider-Man, the original. Tobey Maguire does kind of look pretty young in the original Spider-Man. By Spider-Man 3, he looks like he's like 36. They're like, hey, you know, just a kid having some fun as Spider-Man. Anyway, the answer to your question is I'm glad Tom Holland is still very young.
And what I you know, that is probably the key point of this, and because he does feel like a kid. But I feel like, but on the heels of that, I think what's really neat about this is, and I don't know if he like did something to his voice, but he almost has a deeper voice. There's a world weariness to him now after, like, again, being gone for 5 years, watching, you know, kind of like his best friend and mentor die in front of him, you know, going to space accidentally. You know, everything that's happened to him, there is a world weariness to him and a little bit of a gravitas that you're not expecting from a 16-year-old. But it fits his character because in the comics, Peter Parker just wants to be a kid. And yet, you know, he has to deal with, you know, the Sandman and the Lizard and Doc Ock and all these, you know, kind of like he has all these things that he has to deal with. And he just wants to like date and do homework and, you know, build his web shooters, you know. But so it really captures that vibe really well. And yet there is still kind of like a whimsy to him. He's still kind of goofy. He doesn't know classic rock at all. He knows Star Wars, but not, you know, Led Zeppelin. You know, he's just like, he's still that kind of this goofy kid, but yet there's like a little bit of an edge to him.
Jake Gyllenhaal, though, an actor that we really like, probably made his superheroic debut in this movie. What do we think of him as Mysterio? I hear that there's some mystery around that character.
Not really.
Or there's performative mystery around that character.
Forced mystery, let's call that.
Yeah.
Mysterio is very Mysterio.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, so again, we're going to talk about like half of what's happened. I think he does a lot of things. There's a lot of levels to JKG in real life. There's a lot just in general in his career. And I think he brings a lot of it to here. There's a lot of different layers of this character. And it's interesting because he plays kind of like this Tony Stark-like mentor. He's got the beard. He puts on sunglasses at some point, and he's like, they're like trying to like make him look like RDJ. But he has an interesting dynamic with Tom Holland that kind of works and, you know, kind of, before, you know, a lot of stuff happens later, that, you know, kind of that dynamic helps set up a lot of things. And I think, you know, if it was two actors who kind of like didn't have that, I think it would feel kind of stupid and like not earned later on. But because they kind of have a like a little weird bromance kind of going on, it feels earned when a lot of stuff goes down later.
So were there any other specific moments in the movie that we can talk about? So the first half of the movie, I guess. Or vague moments from the ending.
Brian keeps saying the first half. I think this happens earlier than you're even saying. I think there's like half an hour we're allowed to talk about.
It feels like half. I didn't time it or anything. It felt very Gone Girl to me, because it was like Gone Girl, like the thing, the thing that, kind of like explodes the whole story happens like right in the middle of it. And it almost feels like that to me. I didn't time it, but it just kind of like, it felt like that.
That should be on the poster. Just like Gone Girl.
Just like Gone Girl.
But I demand
Spider-Man, Far From Home.
As a professional, next time you see it, which I know you'll see it again, bring in a stopwatch, because otherwise you'll just be fired.
Well, I can probably do that, because like when I saw this press screen, I don't want to whip out my phone with like, guys with security cameras and like night vision goggles. I'm like, I don't want to like set off a like international incident. So that's why,
What screening rooms are you going to?
Well, we don't have screening rooms. We just have like, we just show up at our like local theater and they bring the security with them.
Okay, that's true. I saw
this. This isn't highfalutin like New York here, guy.
Yeah.
This is Northern Virginia, Mike.
Represent. We just get hired security with night vision goggles.
At the mall. At the local mall.
Exactly.
Starford Mall. So were there any moments in the movie that we can talk about that we feel were not so good? Any weak points?
We haven't talked about the really good stuff yet.
Oh, we actually haven't talked about the really good stuff.
Yeah,
we just talked about
on a tangent.
What stuff we can talk about.
Mike, what else did you like?
Zendaya.
Yes. Yes.
What a pair.
She's having quite a month.
They are good together. But you already mentioned that. Like, he and all his high school friends are great.
But we didn't spend that much time with Zendaya the first time, because I think, they were trying to get over his affection for Liz, who turned out to be the Vulture's daughter. So they had to like sell that whole thing. So Zendaya was in it like maybe 5 minutes.
She was very funny.
Yeah, she's totally funny. And then you didn't really get and she wasn't revealed as like MJ until the very end. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And now we get to spend a whole lot more time with her. We get to, spend a lot of awkward moments where like, you don't know if they let, we know Peter like just digs her. Not until the end do we get an inkling of what she feels about him. It's kind of cool because she's made that MJ character her own. Cause like Mary Jane in the comics is like, she's smart enough, but she's kind of like a white bread redhead model who's just kind of like, kind of around. Whereas, Zendaya's version is like, loves government conspiracies, murder, black, goth, there's a lot of interesting parts to her, and she's snarky as hell. She's such a great character, and her and Peter together are just great.
I like the idea that someone could out-snark Spidey.
What else I like about this is, it's not a normal girl who you think is, popular in that sense. And yet she's like the focus of a love triangle in this movie. And she is the really cool girl, even though like, when I was in high school or like when I was a kid, that would be the outcast. So it really kind of is kind of cool how far we've changed in that way. And like how much, those people are really cool. And, those are the people, kind of this generation does dig.
Gen Z.
So I enjoyed Brad, that ongoing joke. That was fun.
Yeah.
But the concept is he did not get flipped. Is this correct?
Yeah,
so he's a lot older than everyone. He's still hanging out with them.
Yeah, like when last time they saw him, he was like this kind of young thin kid, and now he's like kind of like the ripped jock guy. So like, but that's another way of kind of how they deal with teen romance and everything, and about kind of like how like one summer, one guy who was kind of like the nerd all of a sudden like has sprouted and everybody, he's like, everybody's in love with him. That's another way they've kind of like, in a fun way and a kind of relatable way.
The actor playing him is 31, which is great. And he's on this high school trip.
But that's even better, the fact that he's 31, because...
No, I know. It's fantastic. It's hilarious. I loved it. Yeah. It made me laugh every time. Good joke.
So were there any moments that we can talk about that you guys weren't really interested, or any specific characters or tropes?
The European stuff, I think, it did slow it down a little bit. But
I
mean,
the Spider-Man suit a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one complaint. Because he's wearing this like disguise, because the whole thing is he's like, if I show up as Spider-Man, my whole class is going to know I'm Spider-Man, because he just follows us around wherever we go. They give him it's when I say the black suit, it's not like the black suit from the comics, but it's just you know you've seen the trailer, you've seen it. It's just almost like a spy outfit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a SHIELD stealth outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name they give him though? Yeah, that part is funny.
Night Monkey. Which is funny because, like, Ned calls him Night Monkey just because he's trying to, because Ned knows who he is. Him and Betty are, like, in a Ferris Betty wheel Brown. And about, you know, a flaming Ferris wheel about to die. And so he's like, well, you know, is that Spider-Man? And then he's like, no. That's the European ripoff, Night Monkey, you know. But it's funny because he, like, calls him Night Monkey. And then, like, you know, like, you know, stuff happens. And then later on, you have, like, the TV. Like a TV channel calling him Night Monkey. It's just like, how's that gone viral so fast? It's unrealistic, but kind of funny.
So before I step out and you guys go to
Spoiler Town,
where does this movie rank in the rest of the MCU? If one can even remember all of the movies in your head at this point, there are so many. But we could go with like top, middle, or bottom.
I preface this by saying I love Mysterio. So I'm a huge Mysterio fan. So that is why I would put this in at least the upper third, which is like, could be like 13 movies, right? Upper third. So
I think I put it 12. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think Homecoming is like top 10, but like kind of lower. I think probably around 9 or 10 at this point. But I think it's like better than Ant-Man, but like not as good as like Iron Man. Yeah.
Well, that will do it for me.
Go away.
So I'm going to go away. I'm going to let Brian and Mike finish this thing up. You know, behave. That's all I got to say to you both.
Okay, let's talk about Mysterio. Mike, go to town on Mysterio. We can spoiler town, go crazy. What did you like about what they do with Jake and Mysterio and pretty much the last half of the movie?
Okay, so first of all, the first Spider-Man comic I ever read was Mysterio. So I just love the way he looks, and he looks perfect in this. I love that in, you know, he doesn't really have any powers. He's basically a huckster, you know, in the comics. And I remember always reading Mysterio comics, and he kind of inspired me because he has like no powers, but yet could fight Spider-Man. So when they were marketing this movie, I was worried because it's like, you know, he's here to help, or he's from another dimension, which seems like a lot to throw in after Endgame. And no, he's a huckster who's just taking advantage of Peter, and is, I love the aspect though. He's a disgruntled Stark employee, Stark Enterprises employee. Like that, I thought was great. And going back to these flashbacks of him being shunned by Tony Stark is fantastic.
Yeah, that he was, you know, I didn't remember because it connects back to the beginning of Civil War when you saw that hologram of young RDJ that they used like with his parents, and I couldn't remember if he did call it Barf. But it kind of sounded familiar. But it's like I love the fact is like, you know, I came up with this great technology and he called it Barf, and now I want to kill it. You know, now I'm glad he's dead, and I want to, you know, I want to ruin his legacy. That was awesome, and I liked how Mysterio wasn't just like a dude; it was like a team of people.
Right, that were all disgruntled Stark employees, which is fantastic. Like his main henchman. Flashes back to we get to see Jeff Bridges, who people forget was even in the MCU. Obadiah Stane, we get to see a flashback to him, which I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, I
all these people who hate Tony Stark have come back to try to ruin his legacy. It's great. It's good motivation.
But it kind of ties into the Vulture too, because Vulture hated Tony Stark. I don't know how they like explain it. You know, a new Sandman or Doctor. I mean, Doctor Octopus makes sense as like you know, somebody who hated Tony Stark back in the day. But I feel like, you know, kind of they're on this path of like using Spidey villains that have a key to Tony Stark, but also to Peter's relationship with Tony Stark. So I think that kind of, and plays off of that. And I think that's kind of really smart, because it's not just like some supervillain that shows up and, you know, starts going to town on you know, Manhattan, and then Spidey's got to stop him, and then they're like, oh, they're locked in like a feud for decades. You know, there's kind of, you know, there's an emotional core, and, you know, kind of like there's a real reason for like Spidey to like want to pummel these guys.
And it's also smart that they're not going back to the well with the Osborne family.
You know,
which is
happen,
the strangest
though.
Thing that an Amazing Spider-Man 2 decided. Yeah, you just saw three movies that center on these people. Let's do that again. I'm glad they're using villains we haven't seen before, at least in movies.
Yeah. So the other thing before we get to the post-credit scene is MJ. You know, they kind of do get together. We knew that was going to happen. You know, she figures out that Peter is Spider-Man. And a really kind of fun scene, because it's just like, you know, even she's not sure, but she's like confident enough to be like to freak him out about it. And he's like, well, I didn't know. I was just 67% sure. But do you like the fact that they kind of like pulled the trigger on that? But do you like that they pulled the trigger so early on that? But in the comics, she didn't like figure it out for like years.
True. I always think it's more interesting when someone knows. There's only so far the I don't know what you're doing when you keep disappearing. That there's only so far that goes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I kind of like it when a superhero's closest friends are in on this.
Okay, so let's go to the first post-credit scene, which is kind of like just a continuation of the end of the movie, where like Spidey and MJ are swinging through Manhattan, and we get something special on a big screen, and it's the dailybugle.net. So J. Jonah Jameson is back, and in some like crazy shocking turn, which is probably the best part of the movie, honestly, for me, is J.K. Simmons, who was J. Jonah in the Spider-Man, in the Maguire movies, is back, different haircut, still crazy.
Well, I remember when I would interview Mark Webb for the Amazing, the two Amazing movies, and we'd bring up J. Jonah Jameson to him, and it's like, he wouldn't cast that part because he's like, you know, J.K. Simmons, there's no one better than J.K. Simmons. I can't replace him. So remember that? Like, J. Jonah's in it, but it's like an email. Like, Peter just gets emails from him that are like in all caps because he didn't want to cast anyone else because no one could play it.
Right.
And I think Watts felt the same way. Like, you got to go back and you got to get the guy who needs to play this, and they did, and I was in a screening room, and the theater erupted. People were very excited.
Do you think he is? But you know, going back to kind of the realism aspect of it, him as Alex Jones, Daily Bugle, as kind of like this InfoWars thing. Is he, you know, like you said, it kind of, does that make sense in terms of just kind of the modern world where, you know, the Daily Bugle would not, you know, if somebody like J. Jonah was running it, it would not be like the New York Post. It would be like some like crazy conspiracy site.
Did you play the Spider-Man PlayStation game?
No. Mm-mm. Oh, the new one.
New one. Yeah.
I started playing. I haven't gotten that far.
Okay. Well, J. Jonah is in that too, but he just kind of keeps showing up as like on the radio.
Yes.
Like a crazy radio guy. So right. I feel like this is an extension of that a bit too. But what he's doing, he's revealing Peter's identity to the world. And I think that has to come from some fringe conspiracy site and not, you know, a newspaper, I guess. Especially because he's showing video of Mysterio. Then Mysterio's trying to frame Peter as being a bad guy. And then announces his identity to the world, which is crazy because it's like, where do you go from here? Like, it's quite a cliffhanger.
Yeah, totally. And it makes sense because, you know, kind of Mysterio says at one point, just like, okay, we got to go to plan B, you know, the contingency. And you think at that point, it's just the one last double cross that he does where he tries to shoot him in the face. But no, it turned out it was that video he made. I don't think we see him back. He got shot by a drone, you know, in the gut. So he's probably dead forever. But it sets up the fact of, like, he has that one final laugh to screw over Peter. But also the fact of, like, you know, the rest of Team Mysterio got away. if you wanted to do Sinister Six at some point, once you break out Vulture and Scorpion out of the raft or something, you know, you could have somebody else fit that Mysterio mold.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay, listeners, your turn. Have you seen Far From Home? Did you like it? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, but you can also tweet us individually. I'm at Brian Truitt. Brett Molina, who is working somewhere, he is Brett Molina 23. Kelly, who had to bail because she didn't want to go to spoiler time with us, she is at Klaws, Klaws. And Mike, where can people find you online?
As always, under the Twitter handle A+K.
We're going to wrap things up here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mike, for coming back on. You have a open invite to always come on. Special thanks to our pilot slash producers on the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd, who are both in the Mothership with us today, which is kind of cool. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, how about leaving us a rating or review? It helps other people find the podcast. But if Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. So until next Friday, nerds out.